rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and see. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as our service continues with our readings.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. On the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights.
way too cool, and I'm like, I need to see that to believe it. I'm going to share. Oh, we got some. All right, what was it for you?
My sister said that she had a hoverboard.
She had a what?
A hoverboard.
Oh, a hoverboard. I would have to see that to believe it, too. Jacob. You gotta see it to believe it. Absolutely. Wes, how about you?
I wondered one day I could go up to the Earth and see it.
Oh, sure, yeah. The Earth seems like such an awesome big place. We want to see it, right, to see how big it is. Well, I'm going to share you one for me. I heard of this thing that sounded so awesome, I had to see it to believe it. And this thing was called Disney Plus. I'm like, you get all the Disney movies, all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars movies in one place. How much do I have to pay? You know, that's basically my question. It sounded so awesome, and sure enough, I saw it, and I believed it. Well, Jesus' disciples were in a very similar scenario because Jesus told them that he was the Son of God. That sounds pretty awesome, right? Like, he told them he was the Son of God, and I'm sure some of them were like, we got to see it to believe it. We got to see what you're talking about in order to believe that. So Jesus took some of his disciples, and he showed them. And today, we're celebrating the day that he did that. Now, today we're celebrating a day called Transfiguration. That's a big word. Can you guys say that word with me? Transfiguration. Awesome. All right. It's a big word. I want you to think about it as change, but not just change. Something's become very beautiful and very bright and very awesome. Okay, so Jesus goes up, takes some of his disciples on a mountain, and I want you to hear what Scripture says happens. And Jesus was transfigured or changed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. So they're up there with Jesus, and he starts to shine. He starts to become bright and awesome. And later on, they hear the voice of God speaking. And this is how Jesus revealed to his disciples, this isn't too good to be true. You can see it now. You can see that I am God. So he proved that he was and is God then. And he proved it later, too, when he died on the cross for our sins. And when he rose from the dead so that we could be forgiven. And so that we could be with him one day. And, you know, kind of like how the disciples saw Jesus that day, we will see him like that, too, when he comes back to save the world and to be with us forever. And that's a pretty awesome thing, that we get to look forward to seeing Jesus. That's a really cool thing. So will you please fold your hands and bow your heads and pray with me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. And thank you that he wasn't just something too good to believe, but that he was God. And thank you that he revealed that to us when he was transfigured in front of the disciples and also when he died on the cross and rose again for our sins. We pray that you would remind us of that whenever life is sad or hard, that you would remind us that we will see you again and that we will be with you forever. And it's your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can go back.
The epistle reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
In our Gospel lesson for Transfiguration Sunday, Peter, James, and John were privileged to see a display of Jesus' divine glory, the glory that was his as the Son of God. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the end of the gospel reading. Please be seated as we sing Forever Reign.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was growing up, I grew up in a town called Beaufort, Missouri. I've mentioned it before, but just in case, you can try to look that up on a map if you want. Depending on which map you go to, it might be there, it might not be. I realize we're in the age of Google, so it'll probably be there in a Google map. But Beaufort, Missouri is about 20 minutes from everywhere. Everywhere. And so growing up, whenever we would go anywhere, we had to get all dressed up. You know, I don't know how else to say it, but that's what we would do. We went to the grocery store, we got in decent clothes. We got in nicer clothes. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, kids, when I went to Walmart, I dressed up. Walmart. Right? Anytime we were going anywhere, and of course that also applied to church. We'd get dressed up, even though church was just a couple miles down the road, we would get dressed up, we would go to church, and it was a very similar setup to what we have here, right? We'd have announcements and we'd have an opening hymn, and then we'd kinda go on from there. And I always remember right after the opening hymn, I always leaned over to my mom. My mom must have hated this, but I always leaned over to my mom. I said, "Mom, is it almost over?" And then my mom said the worst things in the world to a four-year-old mind who's already bored, right? She'd say, "No, it's just starting," right? And I'm like, "Oh no!" Like, and that's the way my view. That's what I always had, and I kind of grew up, and I thought about that. And I remember when I got a little bit older, I went to a Bible study. The Bible study was on Monday nights. Pastor DeBerkey, he was kind of a son of the congregation. And I remember kind of relaying this story to him, you know, kind of telling him about it and about maybe some of my frustrations. And I remember he said something to me, and it's one of those things, like when he said it, it was like my eyes were open. Once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. It was kind of like whenever you see a picture, and like there's something wrong with the picture, but if nobody points it out to you, you'll never notice. But the second somebody says anything, that's all you can stare at. And that was kind of the way it was. What Pastor DeBerkey said to me was, he said, "Look for the waves. Look for the mountaintops of the service." He says, "Once you understand that, you'll understand the rest of it. And service will be less boring. It'll be more interesting. You'll be able to understand some of it." And I said, "Okay." And so I started thinking about it. And you know what? He's right. He's absolutely right. Once you see it, it's hard not to see it. Now, the waves of service can be, you know, they're arranged a little bit different, for instance, for this service than for the early service, the more traditional service, but the waves are all still there. So we get here, we say the invocation, we have our readings, and you can kind of sense it's kind of like going up the side of a mountain. You're kind of going up the side, and then what do you reach? You reach this pinnacle, this sermon, this exposition of Scripture, the proclamation of the Word of God to you. And our response we have is to confess our sins, and then we receive another gift, the absolution, the words of God to you. Your sins are forgiven through Christ Jesus. What wonderful news! What wonderful, wonderful news! But then we kind of go down the wave again. We confess who we are through the creeds, but we start going right back up again. And finally, we reach the highest of the waves, right? The pinnacle of the waves. Where God comes to us, but He comes to us in all of our senses. Have you ever thought about that? All of our senses are kind of expressed here. Right? We come to the altar and we receive Christ's true body and blood. We see it. We feel it. We touch it. We smell it. And yes, you can eat it. You can taste it. And you even hear the words of Christ spoken over the elements, right? This is Christ's true body and blood. All of that wrapped into one thing. So it kind of has this weird kind of wave kind of look to it. You look for the waves. Now, I wanted to point something out, and I pointed this out earlier. You know, the sermon, sometimes you can look up a sermon online or something like that, and you can certainly do that. But look at this. These other two things, these are things that happen here with our family of believers, with our church fellowship. These are things that happen here. And you can't necessarily do that at home. You've got to come to church to see that, to experience it, to be a part of that church family. It's all a part of who we are as our church family. Now, here's the interesting thing. The more I thought about this, and I realize this is kind of a long introduction, but the more I thought about this, the more I realized that, do you know our church seasons do the same thing? Right? We start in Advent and we say, the Lord is coming. And then it kind of builds and builds and builds, and all of a sudden we have Christmas. Christ has come. The babe child has been born. We celebrate with rejoicing and gracious. Oh, it's so wonderful. And then we move over to Epiphany, where we say God is revealing himself. And all of a sudden you have this buildup and all these miracle stories, and you see all these stories of Jesus revealing who he is. And then we reach that mountaintop, right? We reach that pinnacle. We reach transfiguration. Jesus takes a few of his disciples, and he reveals who he is. But it doesn't stop there, does it? It keeps going. Now, starting on Wednesday, we have Ash Wednesday. We're reminded again of our mortality. We're reminded again that he is God and we are not. And we start that trek, that journey into Jerusalem. We start that trek and that journey as Jesus goes to another hill, another mountain, this time Golgotha, Mount Calvary. He goes to the cross for you and for me. And we have Easter. We have Good Friday and we have Easter, where Christ is raised from the dead after 3 days. And what can you do after that? After you celebrate that mountaintop, after you celebrate that pinnacle, what can you do except for go out and spread the word? Pentecost. The season of Pentecost. To go out, to spread that word, to tell other people this great thing that Jesus has done for you. But today we're at the mountain. Today we're right here. We're in the Transfiguration. Jesus takes a couple of his disciples and they go up to the mountain. And there on the mountain, Jesus is transfigured, transformed, you might say, right before their eyes. He is glorified before them. And there next to him appears Moses and Elijah. Now, something you need to realize, first off, they want to make tents. Why? Because they think that it's all on the same playing field, right? Moses, the great lawgiver, Elijah, the prophet of prophets, and now we have Jesus, kind of like the third part. But they misunderstand. Moses and Elijah are not there to be equals with Jesus. They are there to confess and to witness to who Jesus truly is. The law and the prophets, both of which, by the way, had their significant events on mountains. Moses goes up to the mountain to receive the law from God. Elijah, on top of Mount Carmel, dukes it out with the prophets of Baal. All of this on top of a mountain, witnessing to who Jesus Christ truly is, the very Son of God. And if that wasn't enough, you have the very voice of God, the covering, the cloud of God coming down and saying, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now think about that. All of that taking place with these disciples, and they're coming down the mountain. And of course, they can't talk about it. He says, "Don't talk about it until this happens." But they have that with them. They have that in their mind, in their hearts, the whole time, this whole season of Lent, when we're going through it, when he's going through his sufferings and his pain. These disciples knew that. They saw it. They saw the glory of Christ revealed before their face. And they go. And as we're about to start Lent, and Ash Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, services at 5:30, as we begin this journey through Lent, it's important for us to keep this in mind as well. He is the Son of God. What he goes to do for you. He goes to the cross. He is tortured. He is killed for your sake. Through his blood, your sins have been forgiven. Your salvation is secure through what he does, through what he has done. The great Easter proclamation, but it's a proclamation that is true always. and forever. And it's all for you, that Jesus Christ went to the cross for your sake and for your salvation, that you are forgiven through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now stand as we confess our sins before God, our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, because we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned in so many ways. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us this day. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins before you in a moment of silence. O Lord, have mercy on us for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. And that Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisles and sign that, get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you.
meditate on the glimpse of Jesus' glory witnessed by Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. May that scene be for us as well a sign of the glory that is coming for all of us. From our Lord's journey to the cross, to the tomb, and then the announcement that he is risen. Fill our hearts with that hope of glory and help us to praise your holy name. Loving Father, as we enter the Lenten season on this Ash Wednesday, we remember that we are dust, and to dust we will return. As we take this time of quiet meditation and turn our thoughts to our sin, lift up our hearts from despair. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lamb of God, to redeem us. Remind us of your Easter promise of salvation and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for the students from Good Shepherd who are here to enrich our worship through their gift of music. We ask that you would bless them, their teachers, and their parents as they continue to serve you by serving others. Gracious God, thank you for bringing the mission team back safely from Salado Mission in El Paso, Texas. Thank you for protecting them from all harm and danger while serving your needy people. Great physician, we commend to you Andrea Cantrell, who will be having surgery this week. Please look upon those who suffer from severe health problems. Donna Barth, Ron Frederick, Jerry and Kelly Curley, Del Lidke, and Julie Rich. In a time of silence, we ask you to bless others who are near and dear to us and are hurting in one way or another, and now name in our hearts. Hear us for Jesus' sake. As we pray daily for families for our congregation, we offer special petitions this morning for the Ginrich, the Hall, and the Hammond families, that you would keep them in your loving care. Almighty God, you have manifested your greatest glory by giving us your own Son to be our Savior and Redeemer. Help us to acknowledge Christ's presence in the bread and wine, and to rejoice to meet our Lord who gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Open our hearts to receive him with faith, and to keep in holy lives what we have received upon our lips this day. All these things we pray, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, through whom you have made known to us the mystery of your saving glory. As Jesus has fulfilled the law, keep us from sin that we may honor your word with an obedient heart and walk in his ways, as we say the prayer he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated. As we're going to continue our service with Holy Communion, just a couple of notes on that. First of all, we rejoice. We have so many visitors here today. I just think what a blessing that is. And so I'm going to take just a moment here. As an LCMS church, I know some of you are from St. John's or from Trinity or from elsewhere as LCMS. And please feel free to come up and join us at the table. For those of you that are not an LCMS church, we believe firmly that Christ is truly present, and we also believe that, well, as St. Paul teaches, that it can actually do harm. And so what we do is we like to invite you up to the altar, but cross yourself and you'll receive a blessing from us. We welcome all of you. We just We just want to be safe. And so that's one of the practices that we have. And also, the way we kind of do it here is everybody will come up, and then after it is over, we reserve the table blessing for the very, very end after everybody's at their seats. And so you can dismiss after the side. Okay? Thank you. Let us continue.
Deceiver, the sight, the wine and the flesh. Thank you.
Please stand for the blessing. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, which is a life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us now have a word of prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Glorious one.